The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
For a romantic touch, the wife washed their sheets with lavender-scented detergent. When her husband got into bed, he sniffed. "What's this?" he asked. She says, "Guess," she said coyly. "I have no idea, but it smells like the stuff you use to line the hamster's cage." Well, so much for romantic touches. Speaking of scented detergents, what about those fragrances that are added to those fabric softeners and the cleaners and detergents and, you know, the sheets that are supposed to make your clothes smell fresh as a daisy? Which is kind of odd because daisies really don't have any smell or much fragrance. Anyway, welcome back to hour number two of the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. Our show, of course, in the first hour, for those of you who missed it, was on indoor air quality. And this hour, we're going to talk about, we're going from breathing to moving. We're talking about your joints and bones. Dr. Thomas Neviser is with us. He will be with us in just a few minutes. He's an orthopedic surgeon and the author of a book called The Way I See It, A Head-to-Toe Guide to Understanding Orthopedic Conditions. Actually, 90 of the most common conditions that are going to affect your bones, joints, or other parts, body parts. Your 206 bones and all the 640 muscles and all the other anatomical parts that might be involved or affected by either accidents or trauma or aging or many other reasons or causes of orthopedic conditions. But Dr. Neviser is well-versed, well-qualified to talk about this. He is a former lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy, also assistant chief of, he worked as a chief of orthopedic surgery at a naval hospital in New York, and has many other credentials to his name, and we'll talk to him just a few minutes about what you need to know about orthopedists and orthopedic medicine. So we'll talk to him in momentarily, but first, a few features. Let's get on to the fitness file. Speaking of joints and bones and moving, are you going snow skiing this season or snowboarding this winter? Well, skiing is a healthy physical winter sport, but drinking and skiing, not so much. Here's a man who writes in, found this a little humorous, but also sad at the same time. He writes into a magazine advice column. He says, "My buddy drinks when we ski. I'm afraid he'll get hurt or hurt somebody. What should I say?" The columnist replies, "What a crazy combination. People try all kinds of stuff to make drinking more stupid than it needs to be." It's already pretty stupid. Drinking and driving, drinking and flying airplanes, drinking and marriage. Well, need I go on? It always results in a certain level of falling down brainlessness. But drinking too much on a slippery downslope virtually guarantees that you'll end up plastered, literally. And then you'll really need an orthopedist. The columnist says to tell your buddy that of all the dumb ways to drink, doing it while skiing is probably the dumbest, next to maybe skydiving and drinking, and that you'd prefer not to watch. I would agree with that. All right, yoga's benefits just keep coming and coming and coming. eases back aches. Chronic lower back pain sufferers had less pain and depression after practicing yoga twice a week for 6 months, according to the journal Spine. Also, soothing asthma, of all things. Well, I guess it's because of the breathing exercises you do during yoga. During 2.5 hours of yoga a week for 10 weeks, asthma patients reported reduced symptoms, according to the American College of Sports Medicine. And finally, preventing mindless eating. Binge eaters who participated in a 10-week yoga therapy program, the binging episodes per week were reduced from 5 to an average of less than 2. Huge. That's huge. So that could be a New Year's fitness or health resolution, is to join a yoga class. All right, let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. All right, sexual health returns next week. Feeling horrible, an alligator goes to the veterinarian. What seems to be the problem? The vet asks. I just don't have the drive I used to, Doc, the alligator says. Used to be I could swim underwater for miles and catch any animal I wanted. Now all I can do is let them swim away. Concerned, the vet gives him a thorough examination and hands him a few pills. What are these? The alligator asks. It's a pill very similar to Viagra, the vet answers. Now hold on, I don't have that kind of problem, the alligator protests. What exactly is wrong with me, Doc? Well, the vet says, you have reptile dysfunction. Okay, moving right along. Here's one. I'm afraid, let's see. Oh, yeah, here's a doctor saying, talking to the patient. He says, I'm afraid you got 3 weeks. You only got 3 weeks to live, the doctor told the patient solemnly. Oh, then I'll take the last 2 weeks in July and the week between Christmas and New Year's. Well, I guess you might as well make the best of your last 3 weeks on Earth, or three-week vacation. All right, we got one more minute to get to the Highway Health Patrol. Since this is the winter time of the year, that is more of the rainy season, the risk of hydroplaning on the highway is highest during the first 10 minutes of rainfall, just in case you don't know that, because the rain mixes with oil residue on the road, and before it's able to be washed off by more rain, that's when it's the slipperiest. So the first 10 minutes of a rainfall is always the most dangerous on the road. And so it's basically creating a layer between the asphalt and the tires of your car, and so you are unable to steer or brake, and that's when you lose control. By the way, water deeper than 2.5 millimeters, if you're driving at 40 miles an hour, that's going to create that barrier that basically is a wedge between the tires and the road and pushes your wheels out of the water and causing them to skate on the surface rather than grip the road. So slow down, make sure you have sufficient tread on your tires. All right. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about orthopedic medicine with our guest, Dr. Thomas Neviser, and also later in the hour, Dick Allgaier's health report. So stick around as we continue here on The Healthiest, 2 hours on radio.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you 5 dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melinda Dunn with the American Academy of Family Physicians with important information on concussions. Concussions can happen to anyone during any physical activity, and you don't have to get hit in the head or lose consciousness to have a concussion. If you suspect a concussion, don't let your child return to the game until they've been medically cleared. With concussions, prevention is key, and safety should always be the first priority. For more on concussions, visit familydoctor.org or talk with your family physician.
Welcome back to Lifestyles of the Fit and Healthy here on the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. David Snow with you. It's the Snowman keeping you cool and healthy, and we appreciate you making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today in the program, Dr. Thomas Neviser, he is the author of the new, well, actually it's not new, but it's been out a year or two. It's The Way I See It, a head-to-toe guide to understanding orthopedic conditions, such as there's facet arthritis, glenoid labrum. What about nucleus pulposus or stenosing tenosynovitis? we'll get into the, he's going to translate a lot of the Greek into things that the layman can understand. He is well versed to do that. I might add, just to give you kind of a broad brushed background of his expertise, besides being an author of this book and others, Dr. Neviser did his internship at the University of Pennsylvania and his orthopedic residency at New York Orthopedic Hospital in Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center. He is also a lieutenant, or was a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy, and worked as an assistant chief of orthopedic surgery at St. Albans Naval Hospital in Queens, New York. And we are privileged and honored to have him. And to kind of clear the air on and translate some of the medical terminology into things that the average person, our listeners, can understand when it comes to orthopedic conditions, because there are, well, just in his book alone, there are 90 orthopedic conditions discussed, and there are a lot more than that, but those are some of the main ones, whether it's tendonitis or arthritis or tennis elbow, frozen shoulder, and many others. We'll get to the meat of the matter right now, and we'd like to welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Neviser. How the health are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I only mentioned just a very brief part of your bio. I mean, you've been with so many hospitals and director of this and professor of that. And I mean, it's just amazing. It seems like somebody would have to live 200 years to do all the things you've done in 30 or 40 in your career. I think you've been doing this for 35 years, is it?
Yes, I've been in that business for quite a long time, starting in about approximately 1973. But after the Navy, I went into private practice. After that, I really went into mostly the private practice, and I did mostly clinical investigations and wrote a lot of papers. Joined the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery, the American Shoulder and Elbow Surgeons, and the Arthroscopy Association of North America.
So, my gosh.
These are, you know, the things that you just seem to come what may, and you join them and you start to learn. And after you learn the things and you spend enough time doing this, you then become the professor.
All right. Yes. You learn what you teach, or you teach what you learn. So let's talk about some of the groans we feel from our bones. And first of all, what is the most common orthopedic injury that people come in for that you've seen in your practices over the years?
Well, actually, it would probably be low back pain.
Okay.
You know, everybody has low back pain after a while. It is mostly caused by degenerative disc, and it actually occurs starting around the age of 20.
Wow, that early, huh?
Yeah.
And you know,
I myself was a person who developed low back pain to the point where I couldn't even walk at the age of 23. So I know very well exactly how it feels to have it and how to be treated for it.
Now, do you think that, Dr. Neviser, do you think that because of our sedentary society, that that's contributing a great degree to this problem of low back pain, and that is people are sitting for 7-8 hours a day? I mean, the research and the statistics are shocking in that we spend most of our waking hours sitting.
Well, that's true. Prolonged sitting is a problem in the sense that it doesn't cause degenerative disc, but it aggravates it.
Yeah.
And essentially what happens is when you're standing up, the muscles in your back do tend to right you and give you some support. But when you sit down, the muscles say, okay, I'm just going to relax now. Mm-hmm. So at that point in time, the entire weight of the upper body is now pushing down on the degenerative disc,
right,
to the point where they can actually move and slip out of place and bulge against the ligaments that are holding them in and cause pain.
And then how does obesity come into this, or being overweight, does that exacerbate the problem?
Well, sure. The obesity and increased weight obviously makes more of the pressure on the disc even
right.
worse.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a matter of fact, if you bend from in a standing position, if you bend out 45 degrees, you are actually increasing the pressure within a disc space four times its normal
pressure. Wow, really? I did not know that. Interesting.
Yeah, so that this is the type of thing that I try to teach the residents that I've taught, and also in my book that you already alluded to, the way I see it, the head-to-toe guide to common orthopedic conditions. And what that does, essentially, is it explains in that book the reason why people have low back pain and how they can stop actually getting low back pain by listening to their body when they have it. If you notice, if you've ever had back pain, you all of a sudden your back is relatively straight. It's relatively perpendicular to the ground, right? And this is the way you should be carrying out your daily habits. Now, you're not going to be able to do that perfectly. So then over time, you want to reduce the amount of episodes of low back pain by listening to your body.
Well, you know, I think part of my reason or part of my problem then from what you're talking about is that I got to stop jumping to conclusions and bending over backwards or pushing my luck. Maybe those are not... No, I'm just kidding. Maybe those are not the best exercises. Anyway, let's talk about shift gears right here and talk about referred pain. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I have a pain in my shoulder. I have a pain in my, like you mentioned, back or knee. And a lot of times it's referred pain, like something that causes a misalignment in your back or another part of your body, even your knees, can cause neck pain, or is that also vice versa?
Well, not exactly. Referred pain is a little bit different than that. So many people have pain that is actually not where they feel it, and usually higher up from that area. For instance, the classic buttocks pain people feel actually comes from a degenerative disc in their lower back.
Oh, okay.
And when they grab their buttocks, they say, oh, I have hip pain. Well, that's not hip pain. The buttocks pain they have is referred from the disc degenerating in their low back.
Hmm.
Now, why that happens is when the disc bulges, the ligaments stretch, that causes an inflammatory response, and there's nerves run right by this area. So that irritation is picked up by the nerve and referred down the nerve to another area, such as your buttocks.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's the same thing, let's say, thigh pain. Some people who develop thigh pain have hip arthritis or something going on in their hip higher up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you discussed, shoulder pain coming from rotator cuffs or shoulder arthritis can cause arm pain totally down from the shoulder, where most people will say, well, I just have some muscle ache.
Yeah, right.
But in actuality, it is a pain coming from higher up. The classic is neck pain. Neck pain, when you have a disc or arthritic changes in your neck, you get referred pain to the muscle over your shoulder called the trapezius. And a lot of people rub their shoulder pain at that area thinking it's shoulder, but it isn't. It's really coming from the neck. So referred pain is very difficult sometimes to diagnose, but you have to know exactly what type of referred pain comes from what type of joint problem.
So if you go to a massage therapist and say, oh, I'm sore here, could you massage that area? That might not do anything because it's not the epicenter, if you will, of the cause of the pain. Okay, interesting.
Correct.
And you mentioned the buttocks pain. Now, that would be different, though, if someone's causing you a pain in the butt or if somebody's being a pain in the butt. Yeah, that's actually not referred pain. That's, yeah, you can refer that out. Anyway, so we go from referred pain to pain in the actual area that is being affected. Let's talk about tennis elbow. Most people that get tennis elbow, I would think, don't necessarily play tennis, right? It's just that area of the anatomy that is being affected.
Yeah, that's correct. Tennis elbow actually is a degenerative process that goes on within a tendon, a specific tendon that runs over the outside of your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
That tendon eventually becomes inflamed, weakened, and fragments and scars down to the elbow joint ligaments, causing a reactive inflammation.
Now, is that from mainly repetitive motion? I mean, obviously, tennis players do the same thing for hundreds or thousands of times, over a period of time. Is that the main cause of it, or could it just be?
No.
Okay.
Many people think that's true, that the repetition is what causes it. Mm-hmm. But I have seen patients just wake up one morning and there it is.
Wow.
Nothing they have done in any type of repetitive motion has occurred to them. They just developed it. In fact, one of my daughters had it once, and she just woke up with it.
Huh,
and it wasn't because she was lifting or doing anything abnormal.
Right, right. Now, would that be the same for carpal tunnel syndrome, that office workers or secretaries? I mean, that seems to be a repetitive injury.
Well, I'm one of the people that do not agree with that idea.
Hmm.
That is, carpal tunnel syndrome essentially does not have what they call an etiology. Many people think that people that sit at their desk and do a lot of typing and develop it and so forth, but it is not, as far as I'm concerned, not true. It is caused essentially because the nerve runs through a tunnel with about 8 other tendons,
mm-hmm.
and even if the tendons got a little bit inflamed, that compresses the nerve and they develop numbness and tingling in their hand. I have that at night, and I'm not doing anything repetitive. So I wear a type of splint that keeps my hand or wrist in the right position, and that helps throughout the night. But I don't do anything repetitive with my hand.
Right.
Some people will think that I've even heard some people say, well, if you have carpal tunnel on one side, you'll get it on the other. That's not true either.
Oh. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Doctor, we need to take a break for the bottom hour station ID. And when we come back, I want to ask you about slip discs. What's that about? And how chiropractic medicine differs from orthopedic medicine in treating things like that, as well as sciatica. That's the largest nerve in our body, the sciatic nerve. Problems with that. And is it really it's kind of a the terminology is such in that part of the body, but it might not be what it actually is, what you think it is. And then we'll talk about CAT scans and other forms of diagnosing orthopedic injuries and orthopedic conditions with my guest, Dr. Thomas Neviser. He's an orthopedic surgeon and expert in this field for 35 years, and he's also author of the new book, The Way I See It, A Head-to-Toe Guide to Common Orthopedic Conditions. And we'll tell you how to get the book when we return from this brief break here on The Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
Your colon, something you don't usually think about unless it's causing problems like irregularity, constipation, gas, and bloating, or diarrhea after taking antibiotics. For true relief, you need to protect and strengthen your colon with targeted probiotic support. True Bifido contains a powerful dose of probiotics with 5 bifidobacteria strains that help balance the immune system, promote colon health, and improve digestive comfort. Why True Bifido and not the countless other probiotics on the market? First, it's from Master Supplements, the makers of Theralac. the fastest acting medical strength probiotic available. That means True Bifido has the same patented delivery and stimulation as Theralac for fast results. Remember, choosing the right strains, delivering them alive, and stimulating their growth are the keys to an effective probiotic. So if you're looking to improve the health of your colon, look no further than the refrigerated section of your nearest natural food store for True Bifido, the probiotic colon formula that works.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grass, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
David Snow on your radio. Thank you so much for joining us and making us part of your weekend. A reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. All right, let's get back to our guest, Dr. Thomas Neviser, talking about orthopedic medicine. Doctor, if I have a slipped disc, do I go to an orthopedist or a chiropractor?
Well, as an orthopedist, you would go to an orthopedist. I find the chiropractic medicine is a little bit foreign to me, but I do believe they do a good deal of help for many patients, but I do not understand the ways they do it. But my feelings with my patients ask me that question, I tell them, if it helps, do it.
Right. And if it doesn't cause any negative side effects, I mean, the bottom line is results, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Rotator cuffs. Is that an accurate term, if a rotator cuff injury, if somebody has that?
Well, rotator cuff is an interesting phenomenon. It's the shoulder itself is one of the most difficult joints in the body to evaluate. And because of it, the rotator cuff is made up of four muscles that encase the shoulder blade. And they all have tendons that reach out and attach to the top of the humerus, which is the upper bone of your arm, of which there is a ball-shaped entity at the top. And they insert pass that ball, and they pull the ball to the socket so that the big muscle, the deltoid, that you can feel on your arm there, can lift your arm. Now, when these little muscles contract, they actually rotate the arm in different positions, and that's how you get the word rotator. And if you cut off the tendons and looked at them, they resemble sort of a cuff like you have on your sleeve. So that's how you end up with the word rotator cuff. Many people talk about rotary cuff, but that's no such term in medicine.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, underwent a procedure for frozen shoulder. Can you elaborate on that or talk about that?
Certainly. Frozen shoulder is a word that has been used for the real diagnosis, which is adhesive capsulitis, which
was identified
in 1945 by a fellow called Julius Neuwieser, who is my father.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
No.
Wow.
So I have done a lot of research, and a lot of papers have been written by myself and my brothers, who were all orthopedic surgeons as well.
Interesting.
So of all the diagnoses in the orthopedics, adhesive capsulitis is the one I can talk about the most.
Wow, I asked the right question, right? I'm asking the right person about this. Okay, so do tell. I mean, is there hope? I mean, this friend of mine has had this recurring problem for a long time, and now he actually has it on the other shoulder, and maybe it was because he overcompensated and used one side, you know, and then it happened on the other side that he didn't have the original problem for, you know, on. And is there a long-term success rate for this, or?
Yeah, well, it's a self-limiting disease. There are four stages to adhesive capsulitis. The first stage actually mimics rotator cuff problems and exact same pain as rotator cuff problems. It develops pain over the deltoid muscle as well as pain when you're moving your shoulder. But as it moves into stage two, you start to lose motion. And the reason for that is a very vehement lining inflammation that occurs with a great deal of swelling and redness and inside the joint, to the point where the capsule around the joint and the ligaments start to contract, to the point where the patient loses a lot of motion.
Yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm.
And when it goes into stage three, that area of inflammation starts to disappear, and when it gets to stage four, that inflammation and contracture is over, and you're left with a shoulder that can't move very well. And physical therapy is 90% of the treatment for it. And motion and so forth to stretch out the ligaments so that they will return to their normal length.
I think he said
it's
that the doctor...
It's rare to have surgery.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think he said the doctor just had to, I don't know, stretch it out or break the adhesions or something. Yeah, manipulate.
Yeah, see. Okay. Right.
Okay, so that's the typical treatment for this particular problem.
Correct.
Okay. And what is the etiology of it?
There's none. No, we don't know.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I've done a lot of studies on it. We've done a lot of biopsies on the shoulders like that, and all we see is chronic inflammation, a lot of what they call vasculitis, which is inflammation of the small vessels in the lining of the joint, but we don't know exactly what causes it.
So not overuse?
Women have it more than men.
Oh, women have it more, you're saying. Wow. That's interesting.
And it's very, very difficult to treat with a person who has diabetes.
Why is that?
Well, because diabetes has a propensity to develop problems with small blood vessels.
Oh, okay.
And since this disease process is a process in which the small blood vessels are involved, the diabetics are more difficult to treat.
Yes, right. That makes sense. Okay. So it's not overuse or underuse. I mean, it's, moving or weightlifting or anything like that. Okay.
No.
All right. And then what about besides PT, physical therapy? I know that some people get results, well, not necessarily for frozen shoulder, but other other things, you know, arthritis and things by taking glucosamine or MSM, or there's turmeric, noni, ginger, the anti-inflammatory herbs, as well as an anti-inflammatory diet, you know, fish oil and avoiding the fatty meats and things like that. Are you a proponent of that?
I have seen that work, but I've also seen it not work.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell patients who ask me that question, I usually say there's some people who swear by it, and there's others who swear at it.
Excuse me, I like that. Okay, so bottom line again is results. Excuse me. Okay, so let's move on to talk about sciatica. That's a very overused term. Tell us about sciatica.
Well, sciatica is a term that we used a long time ago because we really didn't realize what was going on. We thought that all the numbness and tingling and pain down the leg was involved with the sciatic nerve. But the sciatic nerve, as you already have told people, is that it is the largest in the body, but it is made up of multiple nerves. So that when the spine, in the lower spine of the body, you have about four or five levels, and you have nerves that come out at every level, and they eventually join together in a what do we call a plexus. And that plexus develops into one big nerve called the sciatic nerve that runs from the hip joint, behind the hip joint, all the way down to the back of the leg. And then several nerves there develop as you are congenitally and in utero, they develop different ways of going down farther in your leg.
Mm.
So when you develop the pain in your leg and numbness and tingling, you want to know exactly where and have the patient tell you, where is your numbness? If it's on the top of your foot, then you know that there is a specific nerve that comes out between L4 and L5 that causes that. Now, L4 and 5, that little nerve that goes down and joins all the others in the sciatic nerve, tells you where the disc problem is that's pressing on the nerve and causing, quote-unquote, your sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the numbness is on the bottom of your foot, that is necessarily caused by a disc or a nerve problem in L5-S1, which again is another nerve that runs down, joins the other nerve, and develops into the sciatic nerve that goes down your leg. So sciatica really is a wastebasket term.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right, so moving on, since we're talking about joints and tendons and ligaments and things like that, I have a bad habit ever since I was a kid of cracking my knuckles. Is there any, you know, I don't have any effects from it. I mean, deleterious effects, but is that all that bad to do? Or, you know, if you hear, well, as I always say, if you wake up in the morning and you're not eating cereal and you're hearing snap, crackle, and pop, it's probably your body. Is that all that bad if you're cracking and popping as you walk, or if you manipulate your joints? What's the deal from an orthopedist's point of view of cracking your knuckles? Or, you know, some people crack their neck or back or twist and turn just to hear, you know, relieve that. It makes them feel better.
Well, most of the orthopedists think that that type of noise, of the cracking noise with your knuckles and things along that line in your neck, is actually increasing pressure in the joint and nitrogen bubbles actually occur and they pop, and that's the noise you hear.
So if there's popping or noise but no pain, it shouldn't be a problem, right?
Right. Noises don't harm you on the average unless they're associated with pain or dysfunction.
Okay.
Now, arthritis can cause grinding noises, but if you don't have any pain, there's no reason to be excited about that. A swollen burst in the shoulder can cause a scrunching sound as you move your shoulder up and down,
mm-hmm.
and knees are notorious for popping sounds of unknown reasons.
Oh, okay. Now, what about HA injections, the hyaluronic acid or the Synvisc injections for joints or particular ailments or problems? Do you do that?
Yes, we've done that, and we've gotten good results, but we've also gotten no results from it. So, again, it's one of the type of treatments that we have that some people swear by and some people swear at.
Okay.
Right. If you have enough arthritic changes in your knee, you don't expect the HA or the syndicus to make your knee normal again.
Right, right.
And in fact, most people think that HA and syndicus are actually have some type of anti-inflammatory effect to the joint, just like a cortisone injection would do. So it's not a cure-all, but if you have enough arthritis and it reduces your pain enough to the point where you're more comfortable, then that's good.
Now, since you mentioned cortisone, Dr. Neviser, let's talk about that for a minute. My father, who was much older than me when I was growing up, he was a carpenter, and he was very physical, and he would doctor shop, and of course this is back in the 60s, 70s, and he went and tell the doctor number one that he had gotten an injection of cortisone from doctor number one just a few months before that, or a month before. And so he would go around and just to relieve his pain. How often is too often when it comes to things like cortisone or steroid injections?
Well, injections into a joint of cortisone can cause more degeneration.
Right, right.
So you don't want to use it very often. I myself just had a surgical procedure on my knee back in April, had relatively long rehab for a torn cartilage that flipped up and blocked my knee. I developed a lot of lining inflammation, and after the surgical procedure and then after a dove hunt, I developed a great deal of pain and didn't go away, so I did have a cortisone injection, which helped me a lot. But I would not advise having more than 3 injections. If they do not work, you don't keep on injecting people.
Right, right.
And I would always wait at least a month or 6 weeks between the injections.
A month or 6 weeks. Okay, well, that's I guess that he was doing that just out of default, or he didn't know that, but I think that's about how often he would get them. Okay, Doctor, we need to take one last break of the hour for Dick Allgaier's Health Report, and when we come back, I have many more questions for you from an orthopedic standpoint. The name of the book of my guest, Dr. Thomas Neviser, is The Way I See It, A Head-to-Toe Guide to Understanding Orthopedic Conditions. And we'll also talk about his other books, a few nonfiction books, or actually fiction, I think. Mystery of Flight 2222, and You Dear Sweet Man. We'll mention those as well when we come back, and we'll tell you how to get all his books by Dr. Thomas Neviser, orthopedic surgeon extraordinaire. Stick around if you want to stay healthy, but stay tuned now for Veteran TV News reporter Dick Allgaier and this week's Health Report.
Do you lie to your doctor? Despite guaranteed confidentiality and even though it could potentially put your health at risk, a new study finds that 8 in 10 people lie to their doctors. Researchers conducted 2 surveys and discovered about 80% of the younger and middle-aged adults aren't completely honest with their doctors. 60% of baby boomers misrepresent themselves. What's more, about a third of respondents admitted they didn't speak up when they didn't agree with their physicians. Oils from garlic and other common herbs and medicinal plants are showing promise for treating the bacteria that causes Lyme disease, and may prove useful in treating those who continue to have symptoms even after antibiotic treatment. This information comes from researchers at Johns Hopkins University. The findings, still in the early stages, come after the U.S. Centers for Disease Control released data showing tick-borne diseases like Lyme are on the rise nationwide. Giant tortoises from the Galapagos Islands possess genetic variants linked to DNA repair, immune response, and cancer suppression, providing clues to their longevity. This is according to a study in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution. According to the study, researchers detected lineage-specific variants affecting DNA repair genes, inflammatory mediators, and genes relating to cancer development. The turtles may have the secret of longevity. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to the show, David Snoddy Radio. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Dr. Health Radio to their patients who listen to talk radio. Ask your doctor if Dr. Health is right for you. Continuing our conversation with Dr. Thomas Neviser. Thomas, how can people get your book, The Way I See It, A Head-to-Toe Guide to Understanding Orthopedic Conditions?
Well, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble and Goodreads. All you need to do is go to those sites, especially like Amazon, and type in it above, Thomas Neviser, that's N-E-V like in Victor, I-A-S like in sugar, E-R, and click the button, then you'll see all the books I've written.
All right, including You Dear Sweet Man, what's that about?
That's an interesting book. It's a fictional paranormal type of mystery that I wrote in 2017. And it was, I was writing in a subway to go down to George Washington University Hospital, and I saw an ad on the subway of a woman sitting on a table. And I thought the ad was wonderfully done and beautifully digitally photographed. And it almost looked three-dimensional, and I thought to myself, it'd be interesting to see if that woman would move in the ad. And from there on, I wrote the book.
Wow, you have quite an imagination for an orthopedic surgeon.
It went off very nicely. It's a great little book. I had a great time writing it, and I think the people out there would love to hear and read this book.
Okay.
It has some great reviews to it so far, and
good.
Very happy with it.
Fantastic. Okay, let's get back to medicine and the twinges and our hinges, so to speak. Now let's talk about exercise, the risks and benefits from an orthopedic standpoint. I know there's a lot of talk about overuse injuries, and then of course there's the hazards of being too sedentary. We got to strike a balance. So what's the point at which people should be aware that maybe they're doing too much too soon, or just doing too much period, they're not exercising enough, because obviously the joints and muscles and tendons are meant to be moved. That's why they're there. I mean, that's what they're for. So can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. I think probably the best type of exercise for really anybody, especially the people in getting up in age, is walking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as much walking as you can do, 30 minutes or so, 3 or 4 times a week, certainly would move everything that you need to be moving. It would get the muscles in good shape, the tendons would slide easier, and people would feel better over time if they did that.
Now, what about people with arthritis, though, Dr. Neviser? They say, well, it hurts when I walk, so I want to stay stationary.
Well, this is one of the problems. They can do exercises at home, even in a chair. They can push up on their heels. They can push down on their heels. They can straighten out their legs. They can lay on their stomach and bend their knees up backwards and forwards. There's a lot of things they can do just to move. That's the most important thing. Arthritic problems are difficult to treat because they have pain. But if they can use wet heat, things along that line, anti-inflammatories sparingly, they can also reduce enough of their discomfort and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
What you really don't want to do with an arthritic joint is to protect it to the point where you don't move it, because what's going to happen is the ligaments that keep that joint intact are going to tighten up and become tight to the point where you will develop contractures that you cannot stretch out later on.
Exactly right. Yeah, I'm glad that you really illustrated that in detail and made people aware of just how just the consequences of remaining sedentary, even if you have a structural or degenerative condition. You want to, you know, when if you don't use it, you lose it, as they say. And since you mentioned walking, Dr. Neviser, we want to say that that doesn't mean walking to the car, walking to the refrigerator, walking to the television to turn it on. You know, we're talking about walking outside, outdoors, in nature, or, if, I mean, if you have to be in a shopping mall, that's fine too, but just walking a distance. And what's the duration that you usually recommend to your patients?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay. Yeah, that's good. You know, and people say, I don't have 30 minutes. That's a half an hour. And yet they're on their they spend 6 hours in screen time every day, you know, looking at their TVs, tablets, and smartphones and computers. And, I mean, it really gets to me. That really gets my blood pressure up. But anyway, well, we just have a few minutes, so let's just recap. What is the most egregious, or I guess the most obvious myth that you see, that you've seen in your patients over the years, that people believe about orthopedic medicine? What is something that is really not true, but the general or the joke you public seems to think that that's the way it is?
Well, most people, when they come to an orthopedic surgeon, think that he's going to give them a pill and everything is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the biggest myth. The most important thing in diagnosing people is to be able to have the ability to pull out of the patient what they are actually saying. And that's why the book helps. If you read the book or look up the book and have a problem, say, with your knee and read the knee chapter and so forth, you'll be able to talk to your doctor more intelligently so that he can make a quicker diagnosis and get the treatment going. But I think probably the biggest myth is they expect to come in and get a pill and walk out and they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think so. And I really commend you for writing the book, and you cover 90 common conditions. Let's take the top 5 or 10. Obviously, you said low back pain is number one. What are some of the others? Maybe just the top 5, since we don't have time for too many of them.
Oh, yeah. Mostly spine, neck, and low back, mm-hmm. shoulder, hips, and knees probably are the most,
yeah.
And feet. That's what they essentially would. But in between, there's a whole lot of other diagnoses.
Regarding bones, Dr. Neviser, how can you tell if it's a fracture or if it's a broken bone? I mean, right away before you actually get it officially diagnosed.
Well, first of all, they're both the same. If you're broken a bone, you fractured it. We just use the word fracture rather than broken. They're both exactly the same. It is difficult in some non-displaced fractures or broken bones, whether just a crack, to tell whether it's broken or not, because people can still move their fingers or their knee or something along that line. They can still move, but yet it hurts.
Is that what they call a stress fracture? What is
No. Stress fractures are totally different.
Okay.
Stress fractures are developed over time with repetitive running or pushing or lifting.
Yeah, okay.
And that's totally different. But an acute fracture from an injury to falling down or anything along that line would give you probably a swelling and black and blue around the joint with redness and as well. So that if that occurs, then you really want to get to an orthopedic surgeon or an emergency room, get an X-ray to see if it is.
Oh, okay.
It's most important that you don't say, oh, I can move it, therefore it's not broken. There's another myth if you want to call it.
Oh, yeah, right, right. I've heard that before many times. Yeah. Now, you mentioned X-rays, Dr. Neuweiser. What about MRIs or CAT scans or other, you know, thermography, et cetera? What other means of diagnosis, other, you know, for orthopedic conditions? What is your view on that?
Well, we usually start off with an X-ray.
With an X-ray, yeah.
Evaluate. MRI essentially is a magnetic resonance imaging, is the MR in the eye. They're used with strong magnetic fields, electric field gradients, and radio waves generated that it give us image of the organs in the body.
And that's more for soft tissue injury, right? Isn't that soft tissue injuries to diagnose?
No, you can see bone as well, but.
Right.
The soft tissue, but yeah. The MRI does not involve X-rays or the use of ion radiation, and that distinguishes it from the CAT scan, because CAT scan does use X-rays.
Oh, okay.
Most people don't realize
that. Right.
They think they're both the same, but the CAT scans are used for soft tissue as well. Most of the time, MRIs would probably be ordered more by the orthopedist for looking at disc or soft tissues within joints. We don't use it too much with bones unless there's tumors or things along and infections.
Okay. On that note, Dr. Neuweiser, thank you so much for being here and being with us. And give us the name of your book again and how people can obtain a copy.
The book's name is The Way I See It, a guide, head-to-toe guide to common orthopedic conditions, found on Amazon. And I hope everybody will be able to take a look at that. And I think they'll be better off in their life.
Well, The Way I See It, I think you're a very experienced person to write this book, and we thank you for doing so and helping people understand at the layman level all of the orthopedic terminology and the conditions that they might have. So thank you so much, Dr. Neuweiser.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right. There goes Dr. Thomas Neuweiser. And here we go with another edition of the program. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of Dr. Health Radio. Until then, I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.